September 30th, 2022. 1544 hours. Ward Green here. Today's study, little children, is Proverbs chapter 30. I've got a lot of things I could say about the problems I'm having with my jaw, you could call it, or my teeth, or whatever it is. But the evidence is not that it's the problem with the tooth. It's for many years now, it's been other evidence that indicates a more complex or a different problem with the jaw or the last two teeth in this sequence. Anyway, I mean, I have to keep mentioning it because the problem with the world, okay, or it includes every organization in the world, is they continually try to convince us that they are right and that we are wrong, because they're a big organization that cannot adapt to each individual. So I have to keep rehashing the fact that this problem is not specific to that tooth, even though it may at times manifest that way. And I have to keep, you know, reiterating the truth about vitamin C, because they deny that continually. You know, I mean, but every fact that doesn't go along with the conventional worldview, that they are going to deny. And that's just, you know, it's just an actual fact. It's not the truth. I mean, the truth is something more exalted than that. But we can't call it the truth that they're in denial. But it is part of the truth, is that Satan rules the world. That's part of the truth. So, yeah, that is true. And Satan will try anything. So if you accuse Satan of doing one thing, then he changes his tactic. So if you say that Satan is trying to compete with Jehovah, then Satan changes his tactic to make it look like he's not competing, you know, so he'll do something different. So, I mean, it's Satan tries everything in order to, you know, what's the one about, yeah, well, Satan keeps transforming himself, right? Yeah. So if you say Satan does this, then Satan transforms himself to do something different so that he doesn't look like Satan anymore. He keeps transforming himself. That's what happens. He continually transforms himself to evade detection. That's what it is. So, I mean, there's a billion things that the world is in denial about. We can't go into all of them. And one of them is chronology, too. That's why it was so hard. It was so difficult for me as an individual to produce the genealogy, which is my family version of chronology, that is the best version that I can see in that's available. So now today today there's something newsworthy. Well, I want to talk about my annuity, of course. That's very newsworthy. If that comes through on November 1st, which it's, you never know. I mean, perhaps we can have more problems, but assuming that comes through, then it was I'm not sure what word I should use. It's praiseworthy, I guess, that the bank with whom I have the annuity, who I guess I should keep them anonymous, that they would do that for me is praiseworthy, that they accommodated the fact that we missed the deadline and they decided to just reduce the amount proportional to how much we actually provided in funds. I mean, they just gave us exactly what they had promised in terms of how many dollars per dollar that we gave them. They met the and it only amounted to a few cents less per month that I got, you know, less than a dollar less. I mean, the same amount less $1 is what I end up getting per month, or but it's less than a dollar. I mean, it's almost the same amount. It's less 50 cents or something. I don't know what it's some small amount per month that I won't be getting, which is like 50 cents per month that I won't get, which is negligible. So they didn't have to do that because we missed the deadline. But the reason we missed the deadline probably was because the bank was slow in transferring the funds, my bank. So they didn't, perhaps they didn't want to, you know, it's just perhaps just standard, the fact they were slow, or maybe it was that they didn't want to give up that money because it was a fair amount of money. And so they were hesitant, and they insisted on me signing something online and also on paper twice, which I did quite willingly, but I was aware of the problem that creates potentially for somebody. If you sign one thing online and a different thing on paper, there's a conflict between the two things you signed, then there's a problem in the signing. So it's better not to have to sign something twice. So that was not, and also I was not able to talk to my advisor before I signed it. So I, you know, there were some problems that were noteworthy there, that were far, it's just less than ideal the way we did it was less than ideal, but the result is quite phenomenal. So I mean, it's a great thing, because, and the reason I feel that way is because now I can relax. My financial future is, in a sense, predetermined, or it's established, you know, barring any complete collapse of all the banking system, and, you know, it's, I mean, which could happen, you know, but I mean, at least I don't have to think about it anymore. That's the thing. I don't have to think about what to do with all the cash that was sitting there, and the cash that my wife had saved up with me for my future, because we knew she would likely pass away before I did, since she was older. So all these things are now settled, and I feel like I was getting excited thinking about it, even though I've got still problems with my pain in my teeth here. It's that is far more serious than most people might realize. That pain is debilitating, as I found out yesterday by doing 3.5 hours work. And it wasn't even heavy work, it was just work moving things between cars, and I wasn't lifting heavy weights or anything. If I did that for 3 hours, I don't know what the tooth would have been feeling like then. But I mean, just doing this light work, you know, I had to carry the batteries, which are heavy. But doing the work that I did for three and a half hours was, you know, significant enough to cause this pain, the pain in this tooth, to go up. And I have sensitivity in that tooth last night and today too, sensitivity to cold in that tooth, which wasn't there before. So we'll see whether. The other thing I'm concerned about is the surgery we did in that tooth, to even do anything more to that tooth may cause that nerve to die. The fact that we did more drilling in that tooth just because of the crown. Because the lab people were afraid the crown would break if we didn't make the crown thicker. We also did drilling in the tooth above 2.6 to make room for the crown on 3.6. So that we didn't have to remove as much from the top of the crown when we get the final bite adjustment. But that's not a desirable thing either, to lose any of the good tooth on 2.6. So that I would have preferred that we just, if we could have, remove material from the inside of the crown, you know, after we receive the crown, and then and make it so that there's a good even pressure everywhere, so that the crown can't break. Even if it has a thin spot, if the pressure's even everywhere, the crown won't be under any stress, it won't break. But it's rather difficult to achieve that in the limited time you have for an appointment, for a dental appointment. That's the problem. But if that could be done, that would be preferable to removing more tooth material. But especially in my case, because I actually don't think that nerve is going to die in my case, because my pain is not associated with the nerve. With the health of the nerve. It's associated with some other problem. It's pain referred from somewhere else, which is not, it's not clear why that pain exists. It's like it's nerve damage. There's some kind of nerve damage or something. That's what it is. That's what I believe. So could be related to the impacted tooth that was taken out, but it's not about trying to find blame or assign blame. It's about trying to find a life for myself. That's what it's about. And any more work that we do on it can make it worse. We could have just left it the way it was. I was in no pain. The problem is, even though I was in no pain, I didn't have a lot of energy then either. You know, I mean, before we did the crown, the tooth was in a bad situation where it didn't have, the center of it was missing. It was filled, but it was, you know, it was like a volcanic crater kind of thing. It had this big missing bit in the middle, which enabled me to chew on it without any pain, but I was not really all that, you know, healthy. I mean, energy-wise, the energy level. I'm not sure which is preferable, to be in pain and have lots of energy, or to be, you know, to have no pain and no energy, which it's a tough call, but I think you'd prefer the pain and have the energy, and the pain is preferable. Honestly, that's what I believe that people would prefer generally. So I'm making this recording. Oh, sorry. Okay. I might start this over again. Okay. Oh, it's a full card. What? No. I just filled up the card. Okay, so I won't have audio. I'll have to do something to. I should have been recording audio on another device. The card is full, it's telling me. That was a mistake. Okay, I know what I could do. What we could do is possibly do, anyway, is there's 32 gigs on this card right here. I'm going to swap the card. I may not be missing. It's a good thing I checked. Come on out. Come on out. New card. Come on out. There it is. Can I get it? There. Good. Well, they really fit these cards in. Tight. Okay. So, let's see if we can... I'm going to change the card. The SD card in my Zoom H4N. Let's get that. How do you get it? Where is it? It's hard to see it. It's hard to feel it. Difficult to grab it. Oh my goodness, that's difficult. Good Lord, help me. Okay, there we are. Let's get it in here. Loading. No, what's happened? Where is it? It's in there. Oh, this... The door won't shut. Not that it needs to. It's just not shutting. Okay, it's loading. It knows the card is now installed. The door is now acting strange. I just pressed a button I should not have pressed. This door appears to be like it's broken. The hinge on the door is broken or something. That's never been noticed before. Okay, it's too hot in here. It's warming up. It is, of course, afternoon here, so... But I wasn't warm before. I was cold when I got up. It's loading. Yeah, I want to have the audio available. I can make an audio in several portions on the Zoom recorder. It doesn't has nothing to do with the online Zoom, the program, the conferencing thing. This is Zoom. It's a recorder. Uh-oh. Why is it still doing that? It should be set for... Oh, I set for 4-track. That shouldn't be the case either. It's recording 4-track. That's why it took up so much. So let's set it for... Oh, yeah. Let's go to menu. Record. Let's do that. Scroll. And press the button. Scroll button. It's set for record. Right. But wait a minute. Okay, so that's Press menu. Input, that's it, probably. Okay. Yeah, the mics. Yeah, right. No? It's taking up a lot of recording space because it's using four-track recording when I don't have additional mics plugged in. So it doesn't make sense that it would do that. Oh, it's file, maybe. No file. Okay, no file on this card. Tool. Tuner, metronome. Nothing to do with us. Okay, mixer. Play mode. System. SD card. Well, so I could format the card. What's mode? There it is, stereo. Perfect. That's what we want. Okay, stereo recording. Let's see if we can go test. That looks like it's working. Okay, good. I'm going to resume recording. So this is the Zoom H4n, the resuming recording. All right, good. So great. So we're now continuing the audio portion. So we had, yeah, I had, if I work, what was I saying? If I worked hard, would you rather have pain plus energy? Or, you know, I think that's preferable. I think most people, if they've ever experienced the feeling of not having any energy because their nerves are leaking energy, or because, you know, which seems to be what I'm experiencing. Yeah, that this could have been my cause. That nerve damage could have been the cause of what I thought was chronic fatigue syndrome all those years. That's what it could have been. It could have been that caused the draining of my energy, the short circuit of my nervous system that caused the lack of energy. But I did get a lot of the energy back when I started taking calcium, though. So that changed everything. But I still do have the low energy. I'm not as energetic. Now, I'm 65 years old. I might be energetic more than some people, you know, for my age. I'm not interested in being good for my age. I want to be, you know, forget that. I mean, I want to be as energetic as I can be for my health. I'm considering my condition, my health condition overall. I should have a certain level of energy based on that overall health condition that I have. It shouldn't be short-circuited by some nerve damage. I don't think we can do anything about it. I mean, Jehovah knows whether we should do something about it, so I'm going to be asking Jehovah what I should do, but I don't think it's advisable. Where do I sit? This way? Yeah. So to center myself, I tried for a long time to get my camera here centered, with me centered, and zoom in on my face using this camera in Mac OS, but I can't do it. It's not possible to do that in Mac OS without some kind of third-party app, I believe. So I haven't found the app yet. But Mac OS should incorporate that into their accessibility feature, is to be able to stop the zoom from moving when the mouse moves, so that I can move my mouse around, like now, and yet have my face zoomed in. That would be the ideal. Because then I can do a lot more with this screen recording using my image on the screen with the conference cam, or what do they call that cam on a laptop? The selfie cam, whatever. Oh, it's the webcam. That's what it's called. Yeah, the webcam. Right. That's what they call it. Yeah. It's so interesting that there's so many different forms of terminology. There's so many computer so many terms within computer terminology, even though I know a lot of the terms. I don't know all of them, I guess, but I it just depends how much reading I've done recently, because this terminology always changes. As technology advances, they come up with a lot of new terminology sometimes. I'm still considering whether I should buy the iPhone 14. It would cost me about $64 a month, $65 a month, to get the 14 Pro Max. No, the 14 Pro, I should say. Yeah, the 14 Pro with 256, I think it is, that I'm thinking about getting. So $65 a month for 2 years. And the thing about Apple, they're amazing, because what they do, okay, yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Apple. What they do is they offer no interest. You don't have to pay any interest for 2 years. That's incredible. That's just the price divided by 24 months. That's what you pay. They don't charge interest on the loan. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's, who does that? Nobody. So Apple is unbelievable. Now, that's a $1,500 phone. That's what it would cost after 2 years. That's what I will have paid. It's a lot of money. But, I mean, it seems like a lot of money when you could buy probably a $200 phone. I'm sure you can somewhere, but that runs Android or something. And even some of the Apple phones you can get for, I think, $400 or $500, or maybe even a little less than that, that run, not Android, I mean, that run iOS, that are Apple phones. So, but somebody said the other day, there was a comment somebody made somewhere in a chat room, and they were saying that they have a computer that only costs $100, or a laptop for $200, or whatever it was. The point wasn't the actual number, it was just the fact that the Apple computers are like, not 100 times, 10 times more expensive, something like that, right? I mean, an Apple computer is more like 1,000 minimum, or some that kind of thing. Well, you can get the Mac Mini for somewhere around that in Canadian dollars, I guess. The M1 even, like the Apple Silicon. But, I mean, so Apple computers are expensive, but the thing is, you when you're in the Apple ecosystem, you think differently about it. You plan your expenditures, you save your money, you know you're going to need that extra money to buy that Apple computer. You save and you allow and you allocate for it, because you know there's nothing to compare with Apple. There's nothing that compares. You can't even compare with Mac OS, for example. If you're running a Mac, you can't compare Windows to Mac OS. It's Mac OS is more like Linux, you know, it's rock solid. Okay, it's really rock solid, not like Windows. Now, Windows is more, what's the word? Oh, I'm trying to think. There's a good word probably for that. It's more ubiquitous. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's more widespread. But it's more, there are a lot more third-party apps for Windows, like tons more options for programs you can choose from. So Windows is more widely adopted, but there's a word for it. It's more, I wouldn't say it's more useful, because it's not. That's sort of the paradox, but it's actually, Windows gives you too many options, so you can never get through them all. If you want to investigate all the programs you could run on Windows, you can never investigate them all. It's too many. So actually, that's another advantage of Apple. It will narrow you down in your focus somewhat, in terms of what programs you can get for free, for example, which is what I always get are the free programs, for example. That's what I always do, is I avoid spending money on software, and that can save you a lot of money, a ton of money. And like today, I'm using a new app, which I just got today, called OBS Studio. Version 28, which is for the Mac, and it's free and it's open source, and it's completely free and open source. So, and it's very powerful, and people use it for streaming online too. They use it as a streaming app. Maybe I could stream directly from my computer using this app. Is that possible? I just thought of that. Maybe that's possible. might be possible. I don't know that that is, I don't think that is possible actually, but might be. But the thing is, yeah, the thing is that but this program is free, and it's I'm using it to record the screen, and I'm doing it in such a way that I can make a much more compact file on my internal drive or my drive I'm recording onto, the drive onto which I'm recording. It can have a more, it doesn't lose much quality, but it's much more compact because this program allows me to establish what the resolution is on the screen when I'm recording. And you can do, I mean, there's a video on YouTube that explains all that, how to do that. It's, what's it called? Let me mute this. Okay, let's, I don't want it popping up with audio here. It's, where is it? Not here. Okay. Let me go into my history. Let's see. Where is it? There it is. Yeah. It's creating smaller screen capture recordings on a Mac. That's the one. And it's on MacMost is the channel. MacMost Video. All one word, MacMost Video, one word. That YouTube channel. It's a pretty simple explanation to follow. You can understand how to do it, because OBS is a little bit of a. It's not a simple, completely simple program. It has a lot of power. It's simple once you get some instruction. It's very simple, but it's far better than the. Than the QuickTime player that Apple or more powerful, the program that Apple provides is QuickTime player, which can't do this. It can't zoom, or I can't zoom. What am I saying? I can't zoom. Maybe I can zoom in OBS. That's possible. I actually didn't try that. I can possibly zoom in on part of the screen when I haven't tried to see if I can do that. I'll look into that later. But I can set it up so I can record in much smaller format, which I didn't know if I could do that or not, but I found out today I can't do it in QuickTime. So anyway, I've downloaded OBS, and I've installed it, and I'm running it, and I'm using it right now. So that's another thing. The good news about the annuity is that I want to say I'm very... happy about it, and that's because now I can just relax and think about what I want to do with my future, because my money part, I'm not going to be scrambling around trying to earn interest on money that's just sitting there. I've just invested the money and it's going to return interest in the future, but I don't have to do any more investing of it. I can just reap the monthly return. And that means all of my other things that I need to do, which there are a lot, yesterday I had to change my cars over. Every day there's something I have to do. In the fall there's more. I'll have to bring in things. I'll have to maybe cut some trees or trim some branches or do all. I'll have to do some raking of leaves. Lots of things I'll have to do that I need time for. I don't have I don't have time to be busy with scrambling around for financial things, which I'm grateful for, because now it's all more or less Jehovah willing, it's settled. I say Jehovah willing because something could still happen. So it's always in God's hands. Jehovah always is the final arbiter of everything. And he's always existed, because if Jehovah had not always existed, then he would have had to have been created by somebody. So that's the idea of the person we call Jehovah. But he's got a name. He's got a personality. He has a name. He's powerful. He's loving. He's a personification of love, actually. So, was there something else in the news now? I was just thinking. He's the personification of love. When we're talking about Jehovah, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 30 in a moment here, hopefully. But Jehovah is... do I have any idea how long? I have no idea how long this recording is. Do I? Or do I? Just a minute. OBS is recording. So giving me the duration. Let's see. I can't see. Oh, yeah, there it is. 30 minutes. Okay, good. Good. I see the duration. All right. So it's recording, by the way, at 60 frames per second, too, which is incredible. That's amazing. I've never had that. I don't think that's what QuickTime does. I doubt it. So this is going to be very interesting to see what Handbrake will do with this when I'm done, too. How small a file I'll get. I might get a very small file. That would be impressive. Oh, it's going to be exciting just to find out. But OBS is the name of the program. OBS Studio. Three letters. OBS Studio. The studio is not one of the letters, I should say. OBS are the three letters. Studio is the name. The second part of the name. So it's available for more than just Mac. So I was talking about Linux, yeah. Linux, comparing Windows to, that's what I was talking about. When comparing Windows with Linux or Macs, okay? So Linux is a rock-solid system. The problem is nothing is standard in Linux. I mean, in a way, it's more standard, and in some ways, you have to Google everything to find out how to do anything because there's no user manual in Linux that explains it. It's extremely difficult to use, and if you want your Windows to always open up in the same place on the screen every time you boot Linux, that's not easy to accomplish, I found. Whereas on Mac OS has everything done like that. All of, what Mac OS is the same. It's the same idea. It's based on Linux. What's it called? What's the Mac system based on? OpenBSD. That's what it is. I just remembered. I think it's OpenBSD, right? It's based on BSD. FreeBSD, yeah, FreeBSD. It's based on FreeBSD, or there's another three-letter acronym, BSD, which is a form of Linux, right? So it's a branch off of Linux. So the security and the solidity of Mac OS is like Linux, which is rock solid. It's much better than Windows ever was. But, I mean, the thing is, you can't really say that because Windows keeps on transforming itself into an angel of light, maybe we could say. So even though Mac OS is, more expensive, if you look, but it's not. The OS is free. That's the other thing. You never have to pay to get an upgrade. Never. With Mac OS. That's another thing. So all the software that comes with a Mac computer is free for the future. The future versions are free up till now. It's always been that way. So that's not like Windows at all. They're not trying to milk it for more money. And so Mac, the ecosystem in which Mac is operating is a very friendly one. And, I mean, the thing is, even though Mac OS is, Windows is very, you have to pay for it, that's true, but it was never as rock solid. It's always suspicious. I hate to be, I'm not interested in actually being on one side or the other, because there are people who run Windows, and I ran Windows for years. I ran Windows for years, years and years and years, right? So I used to see the benefit of Windows. I don't see it anymore, but the thing is, as long as Mac OS is in existence, it standardizes everything, and it's rock solid. There are going to be some glitches, like, unfortunately, there are some issues that come up, but it's not anywhere near. Because Windows tries to do everything with every computer and run on every system, there are things on Windows that you never have happen in Mac OS, because it's Mac OS is only designed to run on one hardware, one set of hardware, only on Apple hardware, it's, so Apple builds the hardware specifically to run Mac OS, they write Mac OS specifically to run on their hardware. It's just a perfect marriage of the software and the hardware. With Apple, it's phenomenal how well it works. So it's got to be much better than Windows, because Windows attempts to run on all computers, all the computers that satisfy the minimum hardware requirements and so on. So there are infinitely more bugs, you could say, with Windows that you will never see on Mac OS. Now, Mac OS will have some bugs, you know, and they have to fix them, and they have to do... And sometimes there are things that I don't like about Mac OS. There are quite a few of those. And there's lots of features that are not implemented yet in Mac OS, too, that could be implemented, but they haven't implemented these features. A lot of those. So there's things to be aware of that you may not like about Mac OS. But if you stick with it, you'll see in the long term a lot of benefits from using Mac OS, in my opinion. That's what I think is the truth, too. So, but Linux is, like, you know, more secure, which is true of Mac OS. It's, I mean, basically there's never any virus that runs on Mac OS. It's you know, I mean, almost that's true. It's almost true. I mean, you can't say that about Windows. So, I mean, you can almost do more harm by installing antivirus on a Mac than you can by not installing it, because the antivirus that you install might have some Trojan horses built into it. So you might be better to not install antivirus on a Mac. That's how secure it is. That's saying a lot, because it's so secure. That's how you could say that. So Linux is similar in that respect. Linux is similar. Now, I when I ran Linux, I had a lot of issues with Linux. It would do some strange things. So and it wasn't standardized like the Mac OS is. See, Mac OS has got everything's designed to run on the hardware, and everything's built to run and look like a beautiful user interface. It's a fantastic user interface, Mac OS. Oh, that reminds me of something. I think since Steve Jobs has passed off the scene, I think he was an innovator who kept on trying to implement all the new features. We're not seeing that anymore. Like, Steve Jobs tried to stay ahead of Microsoft, and he tried to produce new hardware and software that would implement features that users would appreciate and make that would make their lives easier. That's what I think Steve Jobs was always doing. And I don't think we're seeing that. I don't think Steve Jobs would produce one phone after another with just slight upgrades. I think he'd be always trying to push the envelope. But that's, of course, maybe why he died, too. He was a hard worker. But he ate a lot of fruit. Which brings me to another point, something I want to mention. I ate my yogurt, which is Balkan yogurt. I've changed over my yogurt from the Greek yogurt to Balkan yogurt, and Balkan yogurt is different. And it, by the way they make it, I'm not an expert, so I guess I won't describe that. But it's also 6% fat instead of 5% fat. So I was able to get a little higher in the percentage of milk fat, which I used to get 10% of. But I can't buy that locally right now. I would buy it if I could get it, but so I've got the 6%, but I ate it without fruit, is what I wanted to say. Last night I ate the Balkan yogurt without any fruit, and I didn't have any problem. It was good. I realized then that this avoidance of sugar does bear also on more than just processed sugar. In other words, I can abstain from eating fruit as well, and avoid sugar that way, and that will improve and reduce my inflammation and allow me to lose weight more easily. And by the way, yesterday, it was the first, I think that was the first day I ever ate the yogurt without fruit. But yesterday I tightened my belt one notch, and I could do it. I could work with my belt tightened to the sixth hole. It used to be, maybe I was even more than that when I was, I must have been even tighter belt than that. I must have had a tighter belt than that when I was thinner than I am now, but that was one more notch that I couldn't get before. So I think I honestly believe when you eat any sugar, including fruit sugar, it's dangerous, and that's maybe why Steve Jobs, who ate fruits, otherwise known as Steve Fruits, that's why he died. Possibly because he was a fruitarian. He ate nothing but fruit. So I do believe that fruit is dangerous. Now, Steve Jobs was very thin. If he was thin, it didn't cause him to gain weight. But there's been some research recently that suggests that sugar can cause cancer. And I was talking to somebody, I'm going to keep them anonymous, just for this discussion, that I was talking to somebody about stevia, which I was formerly calling stevia until I looked it up in the dictionary and found out it's called stevia. But I think stevia makes more sense because stevia sounds like a person's name, like you're saying someone's name plus something else at the end. So I think maybe stevia, maybe there's a good argument for using stevia as the pronunciation, but it's not the correct pronunciation according to my dictionary. So, but this stevia, maybe I'll call it, is something that the Food and Drug Administration has not approved in the States, except as a supplement. It's not an approved food. They haven't approved it for safety. Well, I found that was interesting. It's not approved for safety. It's a sweetener that's considered artificial, even though it's extracted from plants, and as is also xylitol and erythritol. And also, this same person was mentioning mannitol is another sugar alcohol, which I think I need to research. I looked it up, I think, already, but I can't remember what I found out now. I can't remember the details offhand. Well, mannitol sounds like it's from apples, right? The malates from apples, it sounds like, to me. Yeah, right. So that could be a good one to research, and maybe for some people to eat. But this idea of not eating fruit is what I'm talking about, right? So, but here's the problem with stevia, just like any of these other sweeteners, even if they're not sugar, even if they're wood alcohols or some other, there's even more chemical sweeteners that I don't even want to talk about. I would never consider using them any more than I would consider any chemical substance that's not food to try and reduce or change or eliminate a symptom. I would never use any substance for the purpose of changing a symptom in my body, because symptoms are manifested by the body for a purpose, and I would never want to interfere with that purpose of the body. I want to treat the body as a whole, holistically. So, but this idea of these sweeteners, they can get in the body, they mimic sugar in the way they taste sweet. So that tricks the body into raising blood sugar, or producing a hunger response, or at least something. Even if they don't spike the blood sugar, they produce a hunger response, and you don't want that, because you're trying to lose weight sometimes. Most of us eat too much. You don't want to trigger a hunger response. So even my xylitol, if I could cut back on how much I'm using, that might reduce my hunger response. But I don't find that I get a hunger response with the xylitol at all, because when I chew my gum, that's the end of my meal. It doesn't trigger me to want to eat more. It satisfies me. So I think, but the problem with some sweeteners, they might just, like sugar, processed sugar, which is deadly, I believe, but it triggers more hunger when you eat that. You actually get, because your body, your brain too, the pleasure centers, as Dr. Jamnadas describes them in his discussions about processed sugar, they are highly addictive. The pleasure centers cause you to get addicted to the sugar, to where when you eat some processed sugar, your brain says, that felt really good, let's get some more of that. So it triggers the hunger response for that reason too, that your body wants pleasure, more pleasure. You want more sugar or more something that's going to trigger more of the pleasure centers activity. So yeah, so the worst is processed sugar, but there are other things to be aware of. These diet drinks, I think, are deadly, because they're not preventing people from eating more, or from they're not preventing the hunger response from being triggered. It's like a trick, right? The body says, you're tricking your body if you drink these diet drinks. You're saying, and I said at one time, that Coca-Cola and or any dark cola or beef were things to be avoided, for the reason that they rob calcium because of the phosphates that combine with calcium and produce appetite, which is a bone, form, apatite, A-P-A-T-I-T-E, is not soluble in the stomach, so it just goes through the system, and you lose your calcium. If you eat beef or drink dark colas, you're losing calcium by doing it as it precipitates out. But the thing is, I said that years ago, and then many people apparently started drinking all kinds of other sugar drinks, which is just terrible. I mean, I never meant it as an excuse to drink other drinks. That wasn't why I said it. That wasn't the point. The point is, soft drinks are bad. Those are the worst, basically. That's the point. They're all bad. They're terrible because... And diet drinks are what happens, I believe, is what's happening is... it's just so easy to understand it this way. You're taking a sweet drink, even if it's got zero calories. You're telling your body it's okay to eat. You know, it's okay to eat because you've got this... The sweetness means... The body's used to having food along with the sweetness, so if it tastes the sweetness, it says, where's the food? Where's the food? It's okay to eat because we've got the sweetness. So you're tricking your brain, and the pleasure centers of your brain are being tricked into thinking you need food to satisfy a hunger because you haven't eaten yet and you've put the sweetness in. There's something that's going on there that's extremely insidious, okay? So don't drink drinks like that. Drink water if you want to survive and be healthy and live long. You have to drink something that's pure, like water. Pure water, the best water you can get. That's virtually all I drink, other than milk and cream and the stuff I drink in my matcha tea lattes. And the idea of coffee. Okay, idea of coffee comes up sometimes. Dr. Daniel Amen is the man who does brain scans, and he is an MD, I mean, that kind of doctor. He has got a lot of information through his brain scan work about what different substances do to people, and he's probably addicted to coffee, that's why he's saying it. Yeah, I think that's true, now that I think of it. But I think he's more concerned about the caffeine. I think that's maybe his concern there. I'm not sure, but I don't know what he thinks causes the problems if coffee's not good. But he's not against coffee, which I don't think is. I don't think it means anything, because he drinks coffee. I guess that's what it says. I believe he does anyway drink coffee. There are a lot of people who drink coffee, and coffee is. Eventually, I'll have something more conclusive to say about it, but it's got to be, it's a huge gimmick, at the very least. It's a gigantic gimmick. The people who talk about, well, we know it triggers some kind of glands function, like the adrenal glands or something, right? Which can't be good if you haven't even eaten food. That doesn't sound like it's good to trigger certain glands to produce things when you haven't even eaten food. That sounds more like a drug than anything else, which is, it's a bad type of behavior to be doing. I never noticed the effect of caffeine in the matcha tea, and yet it's far more potent than any coffee I've ever drunk at all, like far more. It gives me far more of a kick, far more of a boost in terms of energy and health and everything. It just does everything. So, the matcha, I haven't had any matcha tea today. I've just had a few potato chips today so far. Haven't had anything yet. And I worked hard yesterday, so I should be starving, but I didn't really eat much today. Now, I'm careful about which potato chips I eat, too, but probably eventually I'll have to stop eating potato chips and find some better thing than that, even. I feel like that's possible because of the oils that they use in the frying of these chips or whatever, the oils they put in these chips, even if they're using good salt, which is not processed salt. They're still using some oil, which Dr. Jamnadas talks about, these vegetable seed oils. They're all bad, in his view. They're dangerous. So I haven't gotten off those yet, totally. I'm far from perfect. I know I'm far from perfect, but I mean, the thing is, I mean, my dietary habits have gotten so much better, though, in some ways, and worse in others. But I mean, I didn't used to eat potato chips, I don't think, at all, so, or hardly ever. So I now eat them fairly regularly as a way to break a fast or to to do something where I'm not eating a lot of them. But I mean, the thing is, yeah, in some ways, I don't eat as many different things every day now, probably, as I used to, but I do listen to my body. My body doesn't tell me, or my body tells me exactly what I need to eat. The body always tells you. If you need to eat salad, it tells you. You need to eat salad now. You know, that's what happens with your, especially when you're practicing good food habits. You're not eating processed foods, especially when you're not tricking your body with sugars and sweeteners. And you know, your body doesn't lie to you, especially when you have all your calcium and magnesium and vitamin K2 and all the proper nutrients, B12, you know, selenium, your omegas and all these things. You're taking these supplements, your multivitamin, your boron, all these things. If you've got them all going in the right ratios, your body doesn't lie to you anymore. Your body tells you exactly what you need, when you need it. And you don't need to eat this balanced diet every day. That's nonsense. Your body knows what you need, when you need it, and you just listen to your body. That's what I do. I listen to my body. And, you know, I mean, obviously still there's going to be some imperfections in my system. I'm far from perfect, like I said, but you listen to your body. And occasionally I'll take a calcium supplement like coral calcium to add to my dairy. But I don't even take that every day. So, but I try to get, I think 3 servings of dairy every day is a good idea for me. At least it works really well for me, or at least it's necessary, I believe, but probably it's a good idea for most people to have several, maybe more than 3 for some people, servings of dairy, depending what the size of the serving and everything. You could say very small, very large servings or whatever, but I wouldn't take ever a very large serving. The other thing is large servings swell your stomach and make you hungrier the next time. So a large serving is not a really good idea. But when you're hungry, you have to eat, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's what your body tells you. If your body's hungry, it tells you you have to eat. So if you can somehow reduce that, you can drink water, but to reduce the hunger by filling your stomach with more water in between meals, doing things that are good for you, like, you know, drinking some good water. I mean, now some of my water is fizzy water that comes from Quebec, but I also have my well water, which has got minerals. It's not been softened, so it's got all the minerals in it. So I'm drinking a lot of water, only water other than matcha tea. I think there's nothing. I'll occasionally drink the goat's milk by itself. Yeah, I'll occasionally drink a little bit of cream by itself. You know, I'll occasionally drink that, but I don't drink a large amount of anything other than the matcha tea and the water. I mean, that's what I drink a lot of. And maybe probably a lot more water than matcha tea, I would think, but I don't keep track of how much. Well, I boil almost 4 liters of water on my stove, and then I use that water to fill up my water that I use to take supplements with. And that water that I have a glass of right here, this glass that I use to take supplements, I fill that up and every day or two, or I mean every day or twice a day, I'll fill this up as I need to. So I'm drinking that water as well, and then I'll, then I'll put 4 more liters in when I run out, and I'll boil that, and that's my well water, and I'll drink that. But I'd stick to water. I think water is the only thing that's safe, and even that's not safe. But I mean, water is it's the safest thing that we could ever drink. As far as our health goes, I would never drink a canned or bottled thing anymore. To me, that's, well, wait a minute. The water is an exception, right? I drink the fizzy water in bottles. But I mean, a canned or bottled, even the fizzy water that's flavored, if it's natural flavoring, I can drink that too. But I'll only buy that if I can't get the non-flavored water. But or maybe I'll even buy it now for variety, but I just don't like the complexity. I don't like the added complexity of adding a flavor, which could be killing you if you don't know what was in that fruit that they used to get the flavor. So I'd rather keep it simple and drink the plain water. And I just like carbonated for a change, basically, I think. I'm not sure why my body likes the carbonated, but I do like the carbonated. I like cold, fizzy water when I've just been working and I want to quench my thirst. It really refreshes me, so that's why I drink that. And, I mean, some of the things we drink and eat our food for, is to feel good and enjoy our eating and drinking. That's why we do it. We don't always do it just because we've analyzed what we need to eat, and that it's not always a scientific endeavor. But I believe everything we put into our bodies should be based on some science as well, that we know what the science is behind it. You know, because if we let go of that one, if we said that we don't need any scientific basis for what we do, then we could smoke and drink as much as we want and do all this, because if we didn't have any science to tell us it's not good to do that, because we know it's not good, then we might do those things, you know. So, I mean, it's good that we use science to help us decide what to eat, but then there's a large portion or fraction of the decision making that's based on what we enjoy doing with food. How we enjoy to make our salad. We make whatever kind of salad we enjoy making. I've learned how to make my own salad in a way that I just love how it tastes. I love it every time I make it, and I basically make the same salad every time, yet I love it every time, because I've learned how to make it to the point where, for me, it's I've achieved mastery for how I enjoy eating it. Now, I can probably, I know there's another salad I know how to make too, which is strawberries and spinach. That's another salad I can make that's absolutely fantastic. If I can get good spinach and good strawberries, I can make that, and it's delicious, you know. And that's a very simple salad with a little bit of olive oil and apple cider vinegar, and that's basically all you need in that. Oh, garlic too. Yeah, garlic and strawberries and spinach. Wow. If you have good, great, if you have fantastic, I've had that where I had great garlic, great strawberries, and great spinach all together, and it's absolutely delicious. But that's a different salad. My salad, I've talked about before, it's a different, it's many more ingredients. And it's, but I could learn how to make more salads in the future too. But this one is one that I don't eat every day, and I enjoy it so much that I can just make it any time, you know, that I want salad. But if I get tired of it, I'll make something new. This is amazing, though, what food is like to in my life. It's so, it's really the one of the best, one of the things I enjoy the most. But I need to learn now how to regulate the amount of fruit I eat and the amount of sugar I take in, and learn how to control my weight. That's my next thing. And I think I'm going to be able to do that, maybe. Just it's just never known for sure. But maybe by controlling the amount of sugar in the fruit that I eat as well, the amount of sugar I eat, I mean, including fruit, maybe that's going to give me more control. Maybe, I don't mean just more control, but the ability to lose weight, I mean. If I can lose weight while I'm eating normally every day, then I'll have achieved some new level of mastery that I didn't have before. Except I don't know whether I could have lost weight when I was younger, because I never gained any, so I couldn't see if I would lose any. But eating normally might cause you to lose weight when your body is taking in appropriate amounts of sugar. That's possible. And I haven't learned that yet. And I'm older too, so it's going to be impossible to learn what would have happened when I was younger, unless I can get young again. So, I mean, I'm still pretty young for my chronological age, I believe. But so this is time, I think, now to talk about the Proverbs chapter 30. It's a beautiful chapter, and it's different from the other ones because it's not the Proverbs of Solomon. It says, now let's pray to Jehovah for direct direction and guidance. Jehovah, help me and the little children to take in this information and to the best of our ability, but also in the way that you think is beneficial, and that we might receive the love that you have given us and be able to help others, possibly, in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, the weighty message. The utterance of the able-bodied man to Ithiel. To Ithiel and Ucal. For I am more unreasoning than anyone else, and I do not have the understanding of mankind. And I have not learned wisdom, and the knowledge of the Most Holy One I do not know. Who has ascended to heaven that he may descend? Who has gathered the wind in the hollow of both hands? Who has wrapped up the waters in a mantle? Who has made all the ends of the earth to rise? What is his name? And what the name of his son, in case you know. Every saying of God is refined. He is a shield to those taking refuge in him. Add nothing to his words, that he may not reprove you, and that you may not have to be proved a liar. Two things I have asked of you. Do not withhold them from me before I die. Untruth and the lying word put far away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Let me devour the food prescribed for me, that I may not become satisfied, and I actually deny you and say, who is Jehovah? And that I may not come to poverty, and I actually steal and assail the name of my God. Do not slander a servant to his master, that he may not call down evil upon you, and that you may not have to be held guilty. There is a generation that calls down evil even upon its father, and that does not bless even its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, but that has not been washed from its own excrement. There is a generation whose eyes have become, oh, how lofty, and whose beaming eyes are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are swords, and whose jawbones are slaughtering knives, to eat up the afflicted ones off the earth, and the poor ones from among mankind. The leeches have two daughters that cry, give, give. There are three things that do not get satisfied. Four that have not said, enough. Sheol, and a restrained womb, a land that has not been satisfied with water, and a fire that has not said, enough. The eye that holds a father in derision and that despises obedience to a mother, the ravens of the torrent valley will pick it out, and the sons of the eagle will eat it up. There are three things that have proved too wonderful for me, and four that I have not come to know. The way of an eagle in the heavens, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the heart of the sea, and the way of an able-bodied man with a maiden. Here is the way of an adulterous woman. She has eaten and has wiped her mouth, and she has said, I have committed no wrong. Under three things the earth has been agitated, and under four it is not able to endure. Under a slave when he rules as king, and someone senseless when he has his sufficiency of food. Under a hated woman when she is taken possession of as a wife, and a maidservant when she dispossesses her mistress. There are four things that are the smallest of the earth, but they are instinctively wise. The ants are a people not strong, and yet in the summer they prepare their food. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, and yet upon a crag is where they put their house. The locusts have no king, and yet they go forth, all of them divided into groups. The gecko lizard takes hold with its own hands, and it is in the grand palace of a king. Right. I was going to say, is that four or five? It's four. There are three that do well in their pacing and four that do well in their moving along. The lion, which is the mightiest among the beasts and which does not turn back before anyone, the greyhound or the he-goat, and a king of a band of soldiers of his own people. If you have acted senselessly by lifting yourself up, and if you have fixed your thought upon it, put the hand to the mouth. For the churning of milk is what brings forth butter, and the squeezing of the nose is what brings forth blood. And the squeezing out of anger is what brings forth quarreling. The squeezing of the nose is what brings forth blood is a very, very important principle. I learned when I had a nosebleed, and I called 911 a long time ago, some years ago. This was when Anne was still with us, I believe. Yeah, so just more than 6 years ago, probably now. Undoubtedly more than 6 years ago, because Anne died in November, but she went to the hospital in August, or sometime around August, I believe. So, or July or August, she was already going to the hospital. For the churning of the, for the squeezing of the nose is what brings forth blood. And when I had a nosebleed and I called 911, they told me, don't touch your nose. That was the only thing they told me was, do not touch the nose. Put your nose put your head over the toilet and let it drip until it stops bleeding. That was the only advice they gave me. There was no other way to stop the nosebleed. They didn't tell me to use Kleenex, nothing. They said, they didn't say to do that at all. They just said, hang your head over the toilet, let your nose drip blood into the toilet until it stops dripping. So that's very interesting that that scripture is completely in harmony with what they told me at, when I called 911. The wisdom of the Bible is just unsurpassed. It's there's nothing to compare with it. I learned how to treat wounds from the Bible, where it says in Isaiah about the squeezing out of the wound and binding it up. It talks about the squeezing out and the binding up. Let's go to Isaiah. I think it's chapter 1. That's how I can easily remember where it is. Wounds, yeah. Wounds and bruises and fresh stripes, they have not been squeezed out or bound up. Right there, 1 and 6 of Isaiah tells us how to treat wounds. You should squeeze them out and bind them up. So even when, for example, you've got, you know, a pimple, as some people say not to squeeze them, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes, though. At least these other things, wounds and bruises and fresh stripes, and I would say possibly even these pimples, they're going to heal over faster if you can squeeze them out. Possibly with pimples. I certainly do it with my, any infections I have in under my skin, I squeeze them out. That's what I do. But and then you know, you don't bind, you don't put a Band-Aid on everything, but not like a, you don't put a, you don't have to put a Band-Aid on a pimple for it to heal. But for anything that could get infected, you should bind it up or put a bandage on it. If it's possible, you should definitely keep it clean, if you can, while it's healing. And it's just amazing the power of that scripture to facilitate healing. I use tea tree oil to make it, to kill all the germs before I put the Band-Aid on. Or, in the past, I've used what Anne used to use, which is, what's it called? Peroxide? What do we call it? It's hydrogen peroxide, I think. Hydrogen peroxide is the thing that we used. See, I could Google that right now. I don't want to open my window and have it reveal something that is private. Let's see. It's an antiseptic, I believe. It's an antiseptic, a mild antiseptic, but it's quite effective. But I believe that tea tree oil is even more effective because it kills fungus as well as bacteria. But peroxide's another thing that I do use. You can do both. You can use peroxide and then put the tea tree oil on too, I think, but that's more complex. Might be some interaction. Yeah, I think the idea of interactions, I used to worry about this when I used to take any food, right, or anything that I would put in my body, I would worry about the interactions between the two. So then, I mean, because I used to assume that, wrongly assume, that if I took one substance and then another food, one food and another food and put them together, they might do something completely different because they were combined, right? But generally, that's not true. There's not always an interaction. Like, because I thought that, this is the way people think. That's why they think by adding drugs to their body, they can create health. They get this wrong thought. But what that leads to is other types of thinking, too. Like, when I was thinking about repelling rats or rodents from my car in the winter, because I winterized the car, and it's outside, it's covered up, but the rodents can get inside, and they can chew through the different layers and get into the car, potentially. So I'm using Bounce fabric softener underneath the car now, and inside the car I put some more of this Bounce underneath the hood in the engine. I put Bounce in the engine compartment. But I also spray with peppermint spray now around the outside of the bottom of the tarp. I spray with peppermint oil. It's 10 drops for every 8 ounces of water. I put peppermint oil, essential oil of peppermint. That makes it unappealing to these animals, I believe. So I spray that around. I put the Bounce underneath the car as well, a couple of Bounce sheets, and I put some Bounce inside the car in the engine compartment, and I spray the engine compartment with peppermint oil inside. So I'm seeing if that's going to help deter them. Still haven't figured out where I need to wash inside the engine yet, so I'm deferring that till maybe some later time where I can figure out what I need to do to wash the engine. But it's winterized right now with this new method. But what I used to wonder was this. I used to think, well, peppermint combined with bounce, that might attract rodents. I mean, that's what that reasoning leads to. If you believe that you can put something in your body, combine it with other things, and create an entirely new thing, that's just not going to be the case. But if you believe that, then you're going to wonder, you're going to worry that if I put two different deterrents together, it might attract what you're trying to deter. So you worry that the bounce together with the peppermint is going to attract the rodents because they like the two together, but they don't like either of them. That's not sound reasoning. It's very likely that they're going to be repelled by one of them, and two of them are going to really drive them away. That's the more likely scenario. So this kind of reasoning is the way people, including me, the way it includes the way I used to think. I used to worry about putting food in my body because I didn't know how to put food in my body other than what my parents taught me, right? I didn't know anything about what was good for my body unless my parents told me. So when I was very young, that is. And then I didn't really ever learn until very recently, or relatively recently. I mean, you know, the past 20 years or something like that. I started learning about what was good for my body. 22 years, right around 2000, I started to take calcium, somewhere around that time. So I started to learn about what my body needed based on what someone else told me from the Calcium Factor book, which said calcium is essential in your body, in our bodies. You know, we're a calcium. We're not a carbon life form. We're a calcium life form, if you want to put it in that sense. If you want to name one element that we're essentially made of, it's calcium. It's not carbon. So, So the idea of coming back to this combining things idea, right? That you think that you can be the one who uses a drug smarter than anyone else. That's just wrong reasoning. You shouldn't use drugs at all. They won't lead to good things. I mean, the probability that they will lead to good things is outweighed by the much more enormous probability that they're going to kill you. That's far more enormous. It's not worth any risk to your health at all. You need to treat your body like it's a holy temple and don't put anything in it that's not the healthiest possible food. That's basically the rule, okay? I mean, I guess we all make exceptions for that to some extent, I guess, but if we're imperfect, we do. Like when I drink fizzy water, I'm not sure how that benefits me as far as food goes, but I'm not sure if it does or not. It's water. I'm not sure what the carbon dioxide does. It's not a scientific study that I did to decide to drink that. But virtually everything I eat is based on science. Maybe except for that, and maybe I have to do research on that to find out why I drink it and see if it's actually a good thing or not. So then I can eliminate that if it's not good, and maybe that'll cure a lot of my problems by eliminating the carbonated water. Part of the reason is I don't want to use up my other water. That's the reason. Because I have limited well water. I have to boil it. I run the water into bottles, and I filled up 100 bottles the other day. Some of them 4 liters and some of them down to 1 liter in size, but different sizes of bottles. One and a half and 4 liter bottles, three different sizes that I filled up so that I can have water without running the tap all the time. So that water is my well water, and I don't want to use that up, so I drink other water so I don't use up the well water as quickly. That's the idea, I think, why I drink it. But the water I'm drinking is from a place in Quebec and it tastes really good, and I believe it's very healthy. The only thing I'm in doubt about is why the carbonation would be good for me. It's going to produce carbonic acid, which is going to probably just supplement the stomach acid. But I'm not sure if it's good or bad. As far as the scientific research, I'll have to try and find out about that. But everything we do, I mean, well, the xylitol gum is based on very good science in terms of what, you know, in terms of what research has been done about the effect of xylitol on the health, it's phenomenally good. So, yeah, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. But the thing is, science is not always right, and it changes. So we may later find out that xylitol causes some issues, but for now, it looks phenomenally good. So I'm actually excited about xylitol. I'm excited about a lot of things in my diet. The xylitol is one of the most enjoyable things. The xylitol gum is one of the, chewing it is one of the most enjoyable things I do in my diet. That's one of the best things I do, is chew the xylitol gum, because it's so flavorful. Even though the flavor doesn't last long, it does a fantastic, almost miraculous job on preventing cavities, improving oral hygiene, and the hygiene of the intestines, and the health of the intestines, by producing short-chain fatty acids in the intestines. It's phenomenal what it does. And I'm not just saying it because I've read that. I've been using it for a long time now, it seems like. At least 6 years. I don't know how much longer before that. Maybe more like 10 years, but some considerable length of time. Maybe 8 years, maybe 10 years, but definitely 6 years for that. So, okay, so there's lots of things to do today, probably, but I don't know what they are, and I'm a little more relaxed today. But this video is now, let me check that. Oh, we're over an hour, so I better call it quits here. It's over an hour and 16 minutes. It's September 30th, 2022, 17:01 hours. This is Ward Green, and have a fabulous day. Enjoy your life and enjoy your food. And I love you all. And be gracious, Jehovah, to us all in Jesus' name. Amen. How do I stop this thing? Oh, yeah, there it is.